Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If it's your first time with us, let me tell you what we do. We are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger's studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list, inspired by the movie in question. So there you go. That's the way the game is played. The movie in question. Well, let me tell you what that is. This week, we're going to drop a load of information on you.
Okay.
And a load of opinions on you.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Regarding the film from 2001 by Maverick director Takashi Miike. Welcome back again. We're talking about the film Ichi the Killer.
Ichi.
I didn't say Geechee.
Ichi
the Killer from 2001. Yeah, we're going to call this a cult film because there are people that cultishly follow it, like it, know it, appreciate it, watch it.
Sure.
We'll probably like this show. So anyways, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take on this one. Or if you haven't seen it, keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. Uh-huh, right?
Awesome.
So once again, I'm Michael, along with, as always, to my left, James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
You know, I'm doing okay, Savage. You know what? I didn't have any kind of mishaps in the kitchen that made me fall into a hot vat of oil.
Nope.
I wasn't impaled by anything.
Nope.
I have my tongue fully intact.
Sweet.
My nipples are where they should be.
Good.
And I had a nice big bowl of tempura.
All right.
So I'm just fine. I lied about the nipples, though.
Oh.
Lost them. Don't know where they went. Max Gumbo Johnson. I'm going straight to you. I'm going to mix it up. I'm not going straight to your left. I'm going across the table. Max Gumbo Johnson. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know, just doing my thing, as you would say.
I haven't said that in a while. I need to bring that back.
I think you literally said it last week.
Did I?
I am so busy. Anybody want to hear how busy I am? No, probably not.
How busy are you, Max? What's going on?
I'm pretty busy.
You're busy just talking about how busy you are. I want to hear some details.
I'm working on my house, got my job, I got this, I got this. It never stops.
Watching movies,
doing your thing.
How many movies have you watched this week?
I don't know. I've been to the Belcourt 24 times this year so far, so I'm trying to get it 52.
You're slipping.
Can we just say this? Let's just get this out of the way. We all went together. And I joined you. The last time you were at the Belcourt was this Saturday for Bad Movie Night, in which I tried to honor the Q by entering the Manly Scream contest.
And you almost won.
All they did was insult me by calling me the Silver Fox and then give me second place.
And you failed.
No, he didn't. He got second.
No. You should have got
He was number one in the hearts of all the audience.
You should have got
Itchy. Number one.
I came so close. I should have ripped my shirt. So we went to the Belcourt. Yeah, obviously, Max, last time you were there was with me. And
Deadly Prey. Seek it out.
Yes, it's awesome.
You know, let's give a little bit of a plug to a film we're not talking about, Deadly Prey.
Right.
We go to Bad Movie Night once in a while. This was bad, but it was so good.
Same film.
It was so good.
It's a remake of Itchy the Killer.
I'm going to bring back the jorts.
He's bringing jorts into the Q Filmcast. Let's move on from there. Let's go over to Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality, high quality outerwear. And, you know, I want to give one more nod. I didn't say this before. There was a poem written about you.
Oh, yes, there was.
There was, and I forgot to do this several weeks ago. You know who wrote this to? Frank?
Frank.
You know, Frank likes to pontificate.
He is curious.
I hope he's just curious. he wrote a poem about you. So, Frank, you know, I told you I was going to give a nod to this. Here it is. The patron saint of outerwear. All the girls, they stop and stare. He doesn't like his body bare. The patron saint of outerwear. That is Matthew St. Hoodie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank.
No girl stared at him, by the way.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, Frank wrote you a poem, so there's your proper introduction. But how are you doing?
Well, better now. Yeah. Way better.
I see a tear rolling down. Yeah.
Oh, I tried to turn it away.
Yeah.
You see me walking by, and there's a tear in my eye. Just look away.
Wait a second. Winger?
Winger.
Baby, look away. What was that? Was that a song?
Yes, it's a song.
I think that's Chicago. What is that?
Oh, Chicago. That's right.
Baby, look away. I can't look away from this guy. This is our producer. I can't look away. Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Where's my poem?
Your poem? Oh, we'll come up with that. Frank, you're going to listen to this. Adam the Producer Rogers. Poem time, buddy. Come up with something.
I don't think you can request a poem. I think it just happens, you know.
Yeah. It comes from the heart.
Right.
Let's get into this film. Ichi the Killer. We're going to do that in just a bit. But the first thing we're going to do is talk about how to keep up with us, the Q Film Cast. You can do it any way you want to. I'm talking Google. I'm talking just put it out there. You'll find something like Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, Google Plus channel. Whatever you want, we're there. Follow us on all those particular ways. Or what I like to say is to go to the website, qfilmcast.net. There you'll find everything you want to know about our show. Leave us your review of this film or any film we've reviewed in the past. Tell us what you thought. We like listener feedback. So, the qfilmcast.net. Go there. All right, so here we go. Ichi the Killer, guys. Let's get into it. You ready to cue up the conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do this, Max. And this one falls on your shoulders, sure. Shoulders, sir.
You make that sound like a bad thing.
No, we're going to find out. Ichi the Killer, 2001, directed by, nice to see again, Takashi Miike. This one stars people I don't even want to talk about because I just can't even say the names. I will say this, though. This film does star... Tadanobu Asano. Do you know that he's described by some as the cross between Johnny Depp and Toshiro Mifune?
That's a pretty good cross.
They call him the hippest, if not the single most important Japanese film actor working today. He was in the Thor movies as well.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He was in the Thor movie, right? Or he wasn't in both of them.
He's in two of them and the third one's filming.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know he was in that. I'm going to have to go watch those again.
Well, that's all I could find on this guy. Anybody else is I can't get into it because I can't even say their names. Yeah, right. This film inspired our top three, as they all do. And we had some discussion about this, Max.
Yeah, just a few minutes ago.
Yeah. We didn't know if we were going to go one direction or the other. You say it. Our top three what that we'll get into at the end of the show.
Okay, I think we decided on top three non-traditional heroes.
All right, so we're going to get into our review of this film here. First thing we'd like to do is tell you what the critics thought.
Sure.
Let's grease the skids. Let's see what we're up against here. IMDb, what do you think it is, Gumbo?
Me? 66.
How about 7.2?
Oh, IMDb, my bad. I meant 7.2.
Okay. We'll give him a mulligan. We go to Rotten Tomatoes, critics and users. What do you think the critics went with, Hoodie?
Critics.
Guess.
Critics.
Critics. I didn't say critics. Crickets. Critics.
78.
Yeah, how about 64?
Numbers. Numbers.
Users. At 83%, but these are probably the same users that write serial killers' letters. I don't know. You know, talking about like in prison. Yeah. I'm sorry.
They're writing niche letters.
It's just not cool, man. It's just not cool.
That's just like your opinion, man. Let's get into what this film is. Here's what you have. Maverick director Takashi Miike spins this unsettling, blood-soaked Yakuza yarn adapted from the cult tale. I don't know how to say this. Yoroshiya 1?
Sure.
Koyoroshi, something like that?
That's what it was. That one. And it goes something like this. When Mob Don Anjo mysteriously disappears, his protege vows to find the people responsible. Sporting a blonde head of hair and a yawning pierced slash for a mouth, or as they call a Glasgow smile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kakihara is no ordinary gangster, and his methods are equally unorthodox. He impales one poor dude on a series of meat hooks, and then dumps hot oil on him. Meanwhile, a shadowy character known as Gigi. Yeah. He manipulates and controls for his own nefarious ends. Ichi, played by Nao Amori, an unbalanced but ruthless killing machine clad in a superhero suit. Pining for the sadistic abuse of his boss, Kekihara learns of Ichi from a Hong Kong hostess and sets out to find this fabled butcher, hoping he can inflict the type of pain that Kakihara craves. You want to say it a different way, Max?
Kakihara?
No, the whole synopsis.
No, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Crazy dude was looking for a crazy dude.
There you go.
And that's it. Fight.
The reason I say it is because I say all these names that I'm kind of desperately trying to get right that sometimes I think I don't.
I kind of like what Matt said. Crazy dude looks for a crazy dude.
That's a better way to say it.
This movie was full of crazy people.
Yes, I truly say, oh, Lord.
Yes, it was.
All right. How do you introduce the trailer? I guess you just say, here's the trailer.
Ichi ni.
Ichi, yeah.
See.
Take a couple of the men and go get another runner. A mean one.
In Nam, he was the perfect killer. Now, he'll have to prove it again.
Run. You're gonna die.
Mike Danton, is deadly prey. Dan?
You know him?
Know him. I trained him.
They turned the killer loose on themselves. Troy Donahue, Fritz Matthews, and Cameron Mitchell star in a film so violent it cannot be rated. Viewer caution advised. Killer and teacher face off in a final battle. Only one can survive in Deadly Prey.
A little something piece there from the 2001 film that we're talking about, Ichi the Killer. So there's that. Now let's get into this, our reviews. But first thing we do is give you a little bit of did you know? Did you know that the director of this film is only 5'4" tall?
Giant of a man.
Just, you know, get what? That out of the way.
You know what? I did know that.
Did you?
Because you already told us the 13 Assassins episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. How's he looking in the camera?
Did you already said that, too?
He's got a pogo stick.
I can't get it right.
That's why shots are all jerky,
on a stool.
Yeah. You know what's it? You pull up the facts.
I feel your pain, Tekashi.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you love his work so much. Yep. Yeah, but you pull up the facts on this film. That's always the first thing that comes out in all of his movies. That he's 5'4" tall. Okay, Danny DeVito. Okay, here's something. Did you know this? That at a publicity gimmick, barf bags were handed out at the Toronto International Film Festival to those attending the midnight screening of this film.
Whoa, so he's the William Castle of Japan?
Is that what happens with William Castle films?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Really? Barf bags. The name Ichi means one in Japanese. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Ichiban?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I can count in Japanese. I knew that.
Interessante.
Which is wrong continent. That's why he wears the yellow number one on his costume.
Is that why, or was it named after the yellow one?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interessante. I'm going over to South America with him. Did you know that the mutilation on the side of Kakihara's mouth is known as a Glasgow smile?
You mentioned it.
Of course you did, because I already mentioned it. It's also known as a Chelsea smile. What do you like, Glasgow smile or Chelsea smile?
Creepy. I just call it creepy.
Yeah, and it's known that way because organized crime in British cities often put this wound on their enemies.
That's terrible.
It's neat.
They should call it permagrin.
Yeah.
Permagrin. Right. I like that.
Even the Joker looks at that and goes like, whoa, that's just crazy.
Did you know that when Kakihara's cell phone rings, the ringtone is the movie's theme song, which I thought was just fuzz sounding?
No, I didn't pick up on that.
I didn't get that. All right, so we're going to talk about currency because we don't use thumbs up, thumbs down. Why is that?
Because it's stupid.
It's stupid. We let the film tell us how we're going to rate it. And why not go with Glasgow smiles? What do you say?
I say great.
That's what you said earlier.
That's what I say.
It makes me smile.
You like that, producer?
Sure.
It makes me blow smoke out of the side of my face.
I think you're blowing smoke out of something else. Okay. So here we go. 2001, Ichi the Killer. We're going to go over to the man that queued it up. That's Max Gumbo Johnson. Go.
The pressure is on. Yeah. I'm going to go with 7 Glasgow smiles. Is that do you disagree with my verse?
No, I just said that's good. I say pootatang. Let's go over to which way should we go? Let's go over to Hoodie.
No, I want to go 3.
Whoa!
Didn't really enjoy this, but I can see it had originality and some cool scenes. Can't give it a 1. Can't give it a 5. It's got to go 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to plenty of time to rip this one apart. Go ahead, Savage.
So let down.
I'm kind of in the same vein with Hoodie. It's I don't think I understand Japanese films.
It's because of your American sensibilities.
It is my American sensibilities. I don't understand this film at all and didn't really enjoy it. So I understand the originality of it. So I'll stick with Hoodie. I'll just mimic him. I'll give it a 3.
Yeah, I want to go last. Well, of course, I always go last, so we'll just go over to the producer. Greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. Go.
I'm sticking with Max. I'm going 7. I love these movies.
I know you do.
I thought it would be higher, a lot higher.
I really did, too, yeah.
As much as you've talked about this movie, I really thought this was
it's
in your
fun,
top, like, 5 movies of all time.
It has to be one of my favorite movies. It's just a fun movie. All
right.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, there's a scene in this film where this guy is, I remember this scene pretty well. He's hung up with the hooks, and they come in there and they spill the hot oil on him.
Yeah.
They didn't spill the hot oil. Yeah. They poured the hot oil.
I got down on my hands and knees and begged sweet Jesus to let me trade places with this guy.
Why?
I My hatred for this film and the experience of watching this film is going to be epic. People will be writing, people will be doing shows about how much I totally despise every fiber of this film.
I'm going to take a guess and say you're going with a one.
I want you to take that one. I want you to dig a 50-foot hole under the one. Can't. And then I want you to drop in a drill and go another 1,000 feet and put in my one. But what's the lowest I can go?
One.
Itchy.
One.
Itchy.
Not low enough for me, so someone's going to speak on my behalf. How many will I give this?
Itchy. One.
One? Okay, what? Itchy.
Did you finish the movie?
No, it's the first time in my life I couldn't finish a film. I got an hour and a half in. My hands were shaking.
You're almost done.
I can't take it. I literally could not take it anymore. It felt like I went 4 days without water. Let me tell you how bad it was. Let me tell you how bad this was. My cat was struggling with hairballs all night. Three times it barfed up a hairball on the carpet, and I was relieved to have a reason to get up off the sofa for 5 minutes and not have to watch this film.
Oh,
this was misery, dumpster diving for entertainment, misery. Enough. All right. So, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it.
We kind of figured that, though.
Yeah. I'm getting picking up on it. Like it.
Where are we on this thing anyways? Where do I go from here?
21.
21.
Man, still beats Pootie Tang.
All right, so we're going to go back to our ratings. Or do you want to – we really can't play much of this film, can we? You really can't.
None of it.
We'll find something to stick in here and there, but maybe not. So that brings us back to Max Gumbo Johnson. You gave this thing
a seven.
A seven. I just
Glasgow smiles.
Oh my god! Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, I'm gonna host this thing a lot tonight. And just enjoy the ride. So go ahead.
I'm going to host the hell out of this show.
There's too much news. Go ahead.
I like this movie. I've liked it. I remember when I first heard about it, it was not easy to find for a long time. And finally, somebody put it out. I think Tokyo Shock put it out. And I was able to get my hands on it. And it lived up to everything I read about it. I'll just be completely honest here. I love these kinds of movies. This ultra-violent, gory, over-the-top kind of stuff. I love it. I'm not going to say I get off on it, which is what some people say. Oh, I get off on that kind of stuff.
I get you.
I don't. Yeah. But but I do enjoy these movies. I like searching out extreme films. And I've seen pretty much most of the ones that people cite as, well, you got to see this one, you got to see that one. And I love this one. This was a notch better than most of the extreme films in that it had an actual good story. The acting was good. All right, enough out of you.
I'm not doing anything.
You're commenting with your body size. And it lived up to its reputation with all the, I mean, the overdone violence and gore was just, it was way over the top. It became cartoonish after a while, and I don't see how you could be sickened by it. I really don't. I'd be much more sickened by a hairball that my cat puked up.
You would think so.
Yeah. That smells. Those stink. They're smelly.
It smelled lovely at the time.
Nope. I would much rather watch this movie than clean up a hairball. You're crazy.
Three hairballs, actually, by the way.
Oh, well.
Yeah. It was like manna from heaven. Trust me. I was like, thank you. Thank you. That's a gift from God. He still loves me.
Anything else? I like the movie. I enjoyed it. I like the story. I like the characters. I like the way it went. I like how everything developed. I just enjoyed it. It's, you know.
Hey, different strokes.
I just enjoyed it for the sake of the film. I just enjoyed what it was and what it did.
Okay. Well, what did it do for you there, Hoodie?
Not much. Not much. But I did enjoy, what's his name, Kakihara. I did enjoy that character. I wish they could have done a little bit more with him. I say that really wondering how they could have done a little more with him. But it's very obvious, I'll say, that he inspired Heath Ledger's Joker. Heath Ledger's Joker is written all over Kakihara. Oh, yeah. All over it, as far as the purple, the way the guy walks, the mm-hmm. smile. And then you add in Ichi with his costume being the black and padded and the yellow one. I'm like, oh, you got the Joker fighting, you know, Batman, basically, the whole thing. So I'll kick it up a notch for the Batman.
Oh, are you going to a four?
No, that's how I got. No.
That's how I got to three.
I was sitting at a one, and I was like, oh, that's Batman fighting the Joker at the end. I was like, I like that. But, yeah, the ending, I don't know. I guess Michael didn't see the ending.
I went to an hour 30, which in each of years is about 17 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then I fast-forwarded to 2 minutes, watched the last 9 minutes, and that's the best I could do.
No, I get it. But the ending wasn't...
You didn't miss much.
The ending was weird. I don't know really even how to start with the ending.
We want to talk about the ending when we get into the scenes?
Yeah.
I'll just mull the ending.
I'll just stop talking. My favorite part was that it reminded me of Batman, and that was it.
Reminded me of Buttman, but let's go over to...
You watch that?
No. I know. I thought it'd be funny. Yeah. This. Yeah, okay. Anyways, Savage...
Just episode 37.
Yeah. <What's her? laughs> Savage, we're talking about the 2001 film Itchy the Killer.
I mentioned in my rating that I don't understand Japanese films. And that's nothing unusual because their culture is so radically different than ours. And again, our American sensibilities or whatever, they are definitely more communal and we're more independent culture.
They're very cooperative.
They are very cooperative and it's ingrained in them. Yep. And in their art expresses that. And
every single piece of it.
And I don't understand it a lot. There's certain things that just don't translate.
Sure.
So I went into this film thinking, man, I don't get what's going on here. What they think is scary isn't the same thing we think is scary.
Yeah.
Oh, their ghost stories are some of the best stories ever.
Well, if you like them, but it's just...
Oh, they're way better than Americans.
But they don't...
Horror stories
ever. They don't follow the same template.
A good story is a good story across the board, I think.
Yeah, no. It's because what they find culturally, what they find scary, we wouldn't find scary.
The Ring?
I didn't find that scary at all.
That
I thought it was
terrifying.
Stupid. I thought that was scary. Stupid. Yeah. But I went into the same way. I was like, man, I just don't get what's happening here. I don't get what's, you know, and I understand the crime thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. But Itchy? What was that about?
He was a manipulated character.
And I counted. It was an hour 20 into the film before the hypnosis thing came in. It's like, what happened here? It's like finally a plot device, a plot point, something I can latch onto. And then that just kind of turned into a meandering little device that really didn't go anywhere. I guess the gore was funny. In spots. I mean, it was over the top and extreme.
It's the most boring film I've ever seen. I was so bored to death. I was not entertained by one single. I just found it completely ponderous, man.
I just couldn't find my way to latch onto it in any way.
All right, you want to stop there? We're going to send the scenes. We can dig into it a little bit more. Let's go over to our producer, Adam. Man, you gave this a 7. That surprised me. I thought you could go like 10 plus.
Me too.
Right? Nah, I love these movies. I love the ultra violence and
that's what you loved about this was
yeah,
the violence.
That's yeah. what I enjoy about it. It gives me a break from reality. You know, I don't have to think about it. I just watch it, enjoy it, and be like, oh, that hurt. And I just
that hurt.
And I love these things. I love the blood splatter. I love. The mutilations, what people can go through.
Yeah.
Right. Fun.
Okay, yeah.
Don't judge us.
But if it was made just for like all the blood splatter.
I'm gonna judge the hell out of you.
I mean, this movie looks like it was made by Takashi Miike with a lot of thought and all that into like the characters and how they overlapped and tried to like come back to one another. So it's more than just like a bunch of guys fighting and lopping off arms.
Oh, that's what I like.
Well, see, that's where me and you differ. I do enjoy the hyper violence.
Well, I don't think I can part ways with you. I loved whatchamacallit. I Saw the Devil. Yeah. I can go.
Nothing compared to this.
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm not parting ways with violence or gory violence or over the top violence. It's not the problem with me.
But I don't see. I can't understand how you were bored with this.
It's got a good story to it. It's the most boring film I've ever seen. I literally could not. My whole soul ejected this.
Have you seen Chariots of Fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's a boring film. This is a grueling watch. I had to write this down. I can't say my thoughts. Can I just read what I wrote?
Go ahead.
Let me tell you how bad this was. I watched this film, and then when I'm done, because I have nothing to talk about, I'm just going to sit back and watch you guys talk. I had to take a shower. I told Savages, I took a bath and read a book after this and I also watched 15 minutes of Dr. Strangelove just so I could remember that
films are good
and that the art of film and the aspect of making film has valor. But let me tell you what I wrote here. There's not one thing I didn't loathe about this film. This is nothing more than cinematic dumpster diving, and the dumpster is just your typical Japanese cautionary tale about the need for sexual, intellectual, social, and emotional repression, where all of the good guys are the ones who suffer through their desire to step out of line, and the bad guys are the ones who just can't repress themselves. I can't imagine any emotional or intellectual foundation over the age of 11 being entertained or brought in by this ridiculously boring film. And even then, you'd have to be a severely sad person, in my opinion, just to find something of merit here that you could actually take with you. But before you call me out and say that it's my lack of appreciation when it comes to laying something on thick, just remember that I gave Bad Lieutenant and I Saw the Devil 2 films slathered in muck with a lot of backbone. I loved them. Okay. This film is just flat out boring. And I mean deadpan boring. We're going to talk about what this film meant, what held it together, and all this nonsense. It's not entertaining. Wow. It's not fun. It's not dangerous. Not shocking. It's a complete bore made by an idiot.
You think Takashi Miike is an idiot?
You know, I've sat through, what's that, the 15 killers or 15 samurai?
13 assassins.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I kept waiting for Flaming Bulls to run through this thing. Is there an audience for it? Yeah, I guess there is an audience for this film. But remember, there's also an audience for people that like to have relations outside of their species, too, okay? So that does not say it. I'm sad. This film left me sad. I had to bathe. I had to read a novel. I had to watch Dr. Strangelove just to get a night's sleep. This is the worst film experience I've ever had in my life. This is the last Takashi Miike film I will ever watch. That's
I'm
going to
pick another one.
I'm thinking Audition is coming up here.
I will not watch.
Talk about Lady Hawk.
I won't watch that film made by.
Nope.
Well, okay, whatever. I'm done. You guys have fun talking about this. I'm going to enjoy it, though. I'll jump in here once in a while. I can't remember much about the film, but.
Well, so you didn't even watch it. Crying out loud.
This is exactly how what you're going through right now, Max, is exactly how I felt with Devil's Double. Like, how can you hate it so much?
Yeah.
Let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson.
Wow. Some of the stuff you said just now just completely blew me away. You said it was typical Japanese crap. So you're telling me there are no good movies that come out of Japan?
Very few, in my opinion.
Very few?
You can talk about other films. Wait, I thought we were going to talk about this one.
Lie, there's tons of them. Well, my point is you're saying this is typical Japanese crap.
I said it's typical.
You laid a blanket statement over an entire country's film output, and they make some of the greatest movies ever made have come out of Japan.
Well, you enjoy
that. I'm not saying this is one of them.
Okay.
But to say that this was boring.
Oh, it's boring. I've never been so bored in my life.
This is not boring at all. I've seen some boring movies. And that is the cardinal sin of a movie, is to be boring. There was nothing.
This one's going straight to hell.
I didn't find anything boring about this movie.
Mickey Rourke's
going to be there waiting for it. There was not one single boring thing in this movie.
Well, you just enjoy it then. You go get the box set.
Well, okay, I will, but stop talking over me here while I'm trying to say something. I completely disagree with everything you said, that it's this typical Japanese crap about them repressing their feelings and blah, 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 blah. It's just a total load of hogwash.
Well, let's talk about the film. You talk about the scenes that you got to talk about. What is it that you like about this film?
Everything.
I liked everything about it. Okay. Now, am I going to hold it up on some pedestal and say it's some masterpiece of the genre or anything like that? No, I'm not going to do that. But did I enjoy it for what it was? Yeah, I did. I didn't go into this, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to get some great life lesson about things. I went into it as a crime story about the Yakuza and just on the reputation that it had from everything I'd read about it. And I totally, thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know how you could say it's boring, though. But that's beside the point. I'm not going to belabor that. You thought it was boring. Fine. Okay. If it had just been a straight Yakuza movie without all the violence, would that have made it better? That's what I'm saying. I don't know. There was a story there. There was a story. You can't say there was not a story.
This thing went in circle for an hour and a half. This thing just went round and round and round with no character development whatsoever. There's nothing to grab onto. And if you say, well, there's action, so it can't be boring. There's blood, so it can't be boring. There's splatter, so it can't be boring. Oh, yeah, it can be boring. When you sit there and go, really? This is as low grade as I can go for entertainment. When you're using all of this...
You can go way lower.
When you're using all of this to preach to the very, very bottom depths of me, and you're not giving me anything. Because usually when you get films like this, and they give you all this slathering of all this stuff, it's asking you to dig through it and to find something worthwhile in the middle. This was just
Not every movie has to do that.
Well, no,
why
not
does
all
every
have
movie
to do
have to do
no,
that?
No, they don't. They
not
don't.
Every movie has to do that.
What you're saying, if a movie puts you through that much stuff, you're supposed to get something out of it.
Well,
it
should. I think so.
Well, I don't necessarily agree that you always have to get something like that out of a film.
I think it goes back to just the cultural difference.
I completely. That's a load of crap too.
No, that
there
is
no
not
cultural.
A load of crap.
There's no cultural difference. It's a crime story about a bad guy wanting to get masochistically beaten up by some guy that kills people.
You see,
that's what the movie's about. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it takes place in Japan or that they're Japanese people.
Yeah, but you're
you
talking.
You can make this with a total American cast, exact same story set in New York. It would make no difference.
You're talking about this film like it's just one off the rack. There's many films like this. My God, how can you pick this one up? You're not saying that this director tried to stick this thing in your gut and twist it and get you to squirm in your chair by watching him act like a fool with his camera and put this film together. That's all this was just tomfoolery to me. This is buffoonery. If you're shocked or entertained by all of this stuff, then I don't know on what mature level you're grabbing onto. It has to be a very juvenile level.
Well, that's like saying, how can you be entertained by the Avengers? It's about a bunch of fake people that can do stuff that is impossible. I mean, it's ridiculous
that's,
to say.
That's,
no.
That's a specious argument.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
It is not specious. It's not specious. It's not ridiculous.
That doesn't track
ridiculous.
At all.
It does.
It doesn't.
You're no, saying doesn't. This is only for 12-year-olds that are entertained by stupid, silly stuff. And blah, 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 and gore and violence and exploitive material. You could say that about anything.
Okay.
So I'm going to let somebody else.
Yeah, listen to that hoodie talk. You want to go?
I don't want to follow any of that.
Sometimes we spice it up here, man. What do you want? What do you want to do? You want to talk about something? Got to talk about something.
Do you have a favorite scene?
Listen, enough opinion. Let's talk about the film.
Defend me a little bit about the film. I will. I like the way you put the – I mean, you're talking about the juvenile thing with the Japanese movie we just watched over here. And then you go with the Avengers. I kind of see where you're headed with that one. It kind of makes sense. I do think that there is something a little bit deeper in this Ichi movie that than we're really giving credit here. There's got to be. Did I see it? No. Do I want to dig through all the crap to look for it? No. But I do think that there's something there. I mean, he's a world-class, you know, director, right?
Yeah, this guy's no hack.
So you got to give him credit where credit's due. And if he's putting out this movie, then we have to give him benefit of
that. I have to give him credit for this film.
You have to respect. Why do I have to? You have to respect him for what he's accomplished.
I've watched two of his films. I'm not impressed with this guy's work.
Just give the guy a little bit of respect. Just a little bit of respect. Mm-hmm. Well, how many movies has he made? That warrants some respect.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, he's made all these films, right? I think what he's doing is
92 films.
He's really going for the fences here. Let's just throw it out there. Let's just cover him in this stuff.
I know what you're saying. Okay, so. And I mostly agree with you because I was really looking at this movie trying to figure out what was happening, and it got so muddled with all the characters, and they kind of seem to like dip in and dip out. We'll talk about the detectives with the ears thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to talk about a scene. I didn't get that. I didn't know what they come to us in the movie as two guys wearing masks.
I'm trying to remember that part.
They had all this. They had the stuff in their hand.
So you have the story happening, kind of, you know, taking a little bit of shape, and then you cut to these two guys in the mask, and I'm like, what? It stays on them way too long, and then they take off the masks, and I don't know who these guys are. Not a clue who these guys are. I mean, really, until I asked Adam, and he told me to read the synopsis. So I did.
I have it right here.
Yeah, so I read that, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that they were detectives. It was never made clear, which is a lot of pretty big points in this movie were never really made clear to me. I really had to kind of, really pay attention and really kind of dig through a lot of this stuff to even get where it was going and where it had come from. And then when he puts on his ears and sniffs the girl to find out the direction they had to go, I was like, what?
But it's so fun. It's just entertaining blood and fun. And it's just fun.
That's a cop-out, yeah. To say a movie is a cop-out, enjoy it for what it was, that's a cop-out. If you're going to do something and
Look, I'm not discounting that at all, that Yeah, you want a central theme or something behind the story you're telling.
A thread. I mean, a thread would be
something.
Nice.
But I found this to be just a pretty simple story. I didn't find it to be too complicated or anything.
The heart of it was what got to me. The reason the thing exists, in my opinion, is to pander to the worst of you. If you're entertained by just seeing this,
I don't agree with that at all.
If all it's going to give you is this, and the setup to these scenes, these shocking scenes, they're so cartoonish.
It's based off a comic book.
Great.
It's a cartoon.
Great. It's so cartoonish, and it's so set up to be stupid, and so set up to be, what's the word I'm really looking for? It's so set up to be I can't put it in the word. I literally can't talk about this film. I look at these scenes, and when you say boring to me, it just seemed contrived. Everything was just simply contrived from beginning to end, as far as I could get into it, an hour and a half. And I don't see how you could be entertained by it. Have you not seen this stuff before? Fake guts, fake blood. By the way, you talk about the special effects.
Special effects were not bad in this.
Yes, they were.
They were hideous.
What are you talking about?
When they cut the dude in half.
Oh, that was terrible.
I was like, oh.
I mean,
come on.
It was 2001.
Adam, come on, man. That's Birdemic. That is Birdemic.
Come on. Have you seen Birdemic?
Yeah. 3-inch blade that cut a whole guy in half. Yes, but you know what? It made its point.
Oh, Jesus.
It made its point. All right. Well, let's talk about the ending when he puts it in the forehead of Kakihara, and he falls off the roof, It splatters on the ground, and then Gigi, what's his name?
Gigi. Mm-hmm.
Walks up to him. Is that right? Is that he walked up to him? Yeah. And pushes the hair out of the way, and the cut's gone. What does that mean, then?
Here's the way I interpret that. Kakihara was a masochist. He's literally
loved it.
Was seeking out Ichi because he wanted Ichi to beat him up. He wanted him to.
And then Ichi wouldn't do it.
He wants to die and feel that release.
Yeah, I think.
I get it.
I think Ichi wouldn't do it. So I think in a, I don't know what's the word you want to look for, hallucinatory rage or something, he threw himself off that building.
Well, he
and thanked him as he was falling.
Well, yeah, he pierced his ears first.
Yeah, no, I think it went a little deeper, and that's why the tone changed. It went to that like kind of blue sepia thing.
Yeah, he threw himself off the building.
Okay. So he hallucinated that to
take
satisfy
a step,
his own thing.
So what was up with the muscle man thing? That obviously wasn't him. They pasted his head, which was awful. Awful.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't
on muscle man. Why?
And then he started posing.
What does that mean?
He started posing.
It's a comic book.
And by the way, that's an insult to comic books, because there are some amazing comic books out there. You can't just say that's a comic book.
I think the whole thing with Gigi having just being so built up and everything, I think that was just sort of a little comic.
What did you think about all the hardcore sexual stuff in here, the raping and all that sort of stuff, and obviously how the film opens up with that particular credit coming up through that?
That credit was
It's the same thing you saw in Avengers, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's the same way Avengers opened up. Yeah.
I'm not biting.
Yeah.
What do I think about it?
Yeah.
Miki didn't write this thing. It was based off this manga or magna or whatever they call it over in Japan.
We call them graphic novels.
And the novels, apparently, from what I read online, are leaps and bounds way more horrible than this thing ever could have been.
Yeah, they're much more graphic from what I've read. I've never read them.
I don't know. Maybe I have American sensibilities or different sensibilities.
I'm not going
to... Well, now you're just trying to hurt us.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, what do I think about it? I don't know. That was how the story was written. That's what was
I'm just saying,
on the page.
Okay, well, I could put bestiality on the page. Okay. I mean, I put anything on the page.
Well, no, one of the things that a lot of the fanboys have been saying is they tried to take, like, I don't know how many volumes of the comic, let's say 12 volumes of the comic book, and condense it into, 2 hours worth of movie by including all the best scenes in all the comic books. Okay. And then basically what you have is them bouncing around.
Yeah.
And that's what really seemed to, like, really chop up the story. So it did get a little, it got a lot murky for me.
It was a little convoluted.
Very much so. And if you want to have like a guy versus a guy, that's been done way better. And it's been done way better in Japan. Look at the Devil movie there. The Devil
movie. Korean. Yeah, but still. Korean. Korean sensibilities.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Matt.
I don't know what to say. I just and there's a lot of people that like this movie.
Yeah, I mean 84%.
I mean you said that this, I can't imagine that this is what you find entertaining. This is the basis, blah, blah, blah. No. You pull up some of that August Underground stuff. That is crap. That's total crap.
I mean, I don't even know what that is. This thing is 2 hours and 9 minutes. First, it's a long movie, man.
Right.
But of what is it that's entertaining to you when you see...
All right, we've been through this.
Let me finish here. When you see rape, when you see all this stuff that's all you're getting. There's nothing underneath it. That's all that there is. Just fed to you, spoon fed to you, hard into your face, hard down your throat.
Okay.
Just all this over the top stuff, right?
Yeah.
Faces getting, nipples getting chopped off, all this masochistic stuff.
Yeah.
And it comes at you and comes at you and comes at you with just the worst filmmaking I can recall.
Yeah.
Talk about a score. There's this hum underneath the thing.
Okay.
And it just buzzes.
We talked about this already.
I'm talking about the film craft. It's terrible as well.
It is. It's really bad. And
I
it jumps around. It is. It's awful. And it jumps around so much, the loose camera work, and then it uses a whole bunch of effects, not just with like body parts falling off, but like adding grain or different tones to it, and it doesn't make sense coming in and out of certain
I know what you're talking about.
So all that does is just adds to the murkiness of the already murky story.
Right.
That really just pushes my American sensibilities.
Well, and Max, you said the story is you said the story is simple, and you said that the story is murky, and I didn't know that about the taking the 12 or trying to condense.
I really don't know how many
condensed down.
I know that that's
like a larger volume of material into this. That makes sense. This is not a simple story. If you're gonna like this thing for the story, which I don't think it was going for, I think it was going for shock value. But if you want to get into the story about repressed sexual identities and emotional baggage from whatever and all that, then okay.
Antichrist.
Well, you
good
that's,
movie.
That's better. Yeah. It's better because it delves intellectually into those hard subjects. This one doesn't. And if that if those hard things, if those traumatically hard things, those important psychic scarring things are just the surface of your thing, and then the rest of it is, you know, flash and gore, you know, hey, whatever. If that's what knocks your hair back, that's your thing, you know. But you can't sit here and say, oh, it's a simple story. Because it's not a simple story.
Elementally, it is.
Thank you for that word, elementally.
It's pretty basic.
I mean, I don't know.
There's nothing simple about Itchy.
I watched it, and I was
nothing simple about that character at all.
I'm not saying the character. I said the story.
Well, he's part of the story.
Okay, but you said the character. I said the story.
What would you say the overarching story of Itchy the Killer is?
Crazy guy going after crazy guy with a bunch of crazy guys set in the middle.
Yeah.
There's your story.
Yeah.
And some inappropriate erections.
You know what? You brought up something that I want to touch on. You just mentioned Antichrist, right?
Whoa, you just...
What? I like the way he brought that in because it breaks my point. What did I say?
You missed it.
Thank you, Michael.
Move along.
Did I miss something?
Yes, you did.
Is it brilliant?
It was pretty funny.
We'll figure that out later.
You'll hear it in the editing.
Well, okay. Oh, I'm not touching this one.
Oh. What going. Did I just say? Antichrist.
Oh, Antichrist, yes. See, now look, you want to talk about violence? It doesn't get much more violent than that. It doesn't get much more...
Graphically violent
because things are cut off here in this film, and there are things cut off in that film that go a little further down. Okay. So it's intellectual. It gives me something to use my brain at. This just didn't give me the opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to have to think here. All it did was say, sit back, get drunk on this stuff, and just try to watch it for what it makes you feel like. It made me feel like crap. I didn't one time feel like I was going to use my brain and try to dig around and find something intellectual in this film. But that's me. Talk about scenes. Adam, what's your favorite scene in this film? Talk about scenes, man. Let's go with that.
All right.
What's the one scene you're going to remember in this film?
Your GTA.
Definitely the guy hanging.
The last scene?
No, the guy hooks. Hanging.
Suzuki.
Suzuki. Hanging, and then, of course, the ultraviolence, which I love. Him being doused with hot oil. Yeah. And that's like, And then all the torturous scenes.
See, what is he... I'm sorry.
Other than that, I mean... Probably, really. How can you not think of this movie without looking at the torture scenes?
No, you can't.
I mean, there's tons of them from it.
What it's about.
Probably my favorite scene though is definitely when the alley fight where
the kids.
No, the got,
yeah, that one.
That happened.
Yeah,
in
it
alley.
Did.
No,
it did.
With the one guy
kicked that kid in his chest.
The main bad guy. Goes and takes off his
Takihara.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where he's fighting Longi or something. Yeah.
And then the guy just hits him, and he just opens his mouth and bites his hand pretty much off.
I hated that.
I love that scene.
He came back with
scene.
Like a bony stump.
Yeah, where it skinned it back.
Yeah, but just because your mouth is slit doesn't change, you know, how your jaw works.
You could get more into your mouth.
If you were 11, it wouldn't matter.
I guess not.
It's
and his teeth look sharpened in that. Too, sure. I think.
Could be. Yes, it was a bad prosthetic, but you know what? It's still fun.
Hey, you know what? Out of all the bad effects, you know which one I really remember was the drops of blood in the beginning coming down from the ceiling? It really was Birdemic.
That was awful.
It looked like
that
someone
was just awful.
It looked like someone literally went in front of the camera and dropped little red pieces of paper in front of
No, they were digitally put in.
Oh my God.
Terrible. Awful.
Terrible.
The worst one was when the guy was literally cut in half and then he just stands there for a second and then...
splits apart.
Yeah, and something was inside of him. It was kind of red. I think I saw lava. Some blue stuff in there. I don't know. It looked like.
But do you think he was trying to make it that lo-fi on purpose to maybe just take it out of the realism?
There's no
it
way.
Been realism his budget too. That was what he was given.
What was his budget? $6.
Well,
$1.4 million. I think maybe he was trying to bring it, make it a little lo-fi to tone it down a little bit.
No.
I think maybe so. They were.
There's no toning down. If you're going to go all in, then go all in.
He also had those bulls and that other 13 killers, called, 15 killers.
You would think they'd be better at that.
13
CGI
assassins.
Stuff.
Sorry. Yeah.
You think they?
Oh yeah, you're right. The bulls. Maybe he just doesn't know how to do it.
He needs a new production house, effects house,
or a real computer. Maybe a computer from this decade.
You know what? I'm sorry. I've been really harsh on this film, and I'm sorry. I really. Just did not like this experience.
Got it.
I'm going to talk about the film, but it's just the experience. So you know what? I'm going to leave it right there. I probably shouldn't say things like idiots.
Oh, we say that all the time.
I'm going to take that back, but I really didn't like it.
Okay.
You want to finish this off, Max?
You know what? I don't know what else to say. I'm not going to sit here and just say that this film had the merits of the, you know, Japanese Citizen Kane or anything, because it didn't.
It's about repression, though. Will you give me that?
It's no Kurosawa
Aren't
film.
They all yeah, about I think, repression?
Yeah,
always
I would
a
say
theme.
That that is a theme in the film. And, you know, and Ichi and Kakihara are the complete opposites of each other as far as characters go. One's completely repressed and sad and miserable all the time, and he's been brainwashed by this guy, Gigi. Kakihara, he don't give a damn.
The French would never make this
He does
movie.
What he wants. Yeah, yeah. The French wouldn't make this. Yeah, they've never made a bad movie.
Oh, huh? They have. But usually it's about walking and talking. All they do is walk and talk. A lot of dialogue in a French film.
Yeah, there's no such thing as the new wave of French horror.
Yeah, the best horror, too. At that.
No, they're not the best horror. Oh, no. They made one. No. One. One.
What's the one?
Inside.
Didn't see.
Max, that was the one I liked.
Is that the one with
I didn't
the big
like
song?
High Tension?
It was awful.
High Tension,
High Tension was pretty good. It doesn't even make sense.
Lame.
And we're talking about the 2001 film.
Ichi the Killer.
There you go. Just so you know that. Max, are we going to be able to patch our relationship up after
give
this?
Give me a hug.
Oh.
Should you do it right now or after the show?
No, we'll do it now.
There may be.
He will kick you with his boot.
You brought up something I want to touch on.
Go ahead.
No, never mind. That's a callback.
Wait a second. I got to hear what happened in this show.
You literally just did.
All right. Oh, listen. Look, man, I had to read that because I ran immediately to a pen and paper, and that's what I wrote down. I said, no matter what, I'm going to read this. This is truthful.
It's my rant.
It's my rant.
Just stay away from my spit on your grave, for God's sake.
Oh, I saw that.
Awful. Awful, awful.
Which version?
I don't know. I remember it screwed my life up. As a kid, it literally screwed my life up.
Original.
I watched it a couple of months ago, and it screwed my life up.
This film here screwed my life up. I felt bad. I felt sad for people.
Right. I watched Palo Alto the other night.
What's that about?
My life. I was terrible.
Terrible. I watched Sister of the Traveling Pants.
We're
Traveling
Pants now.
Screwed my life up. That will screw. Let's tell you what's something. Let's watch Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, and
you enjoy that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I even said that. All right. So we're gonna get to our top threes now. That was our breakdown. This was a tough one, man. I'm sorry.
Don't have to apologize to me.
I'm gonna say it. I'll go ahead and say it. Ichi the Killer. 2001 by the
Ichi the Michael Killer.
Hey, did you know that Takashi Miike's only 5'4" tall?
He's a giant.
Such a little guy for such a big movie.
Maybe he couldn't look in the camera well enough to see what he was doing.
I'm telling you, he just kept hitting it. Hey, yeah. That's why it's so jerky.
That's Ichi the Killer. It is on Netflix if you care to venture that way. I'm not changing my rating. And we're talking about Glasgow Smiles.
Right.
Is that 21. What it was?
21 Glasgow Smiles.
Well, I think we had an 18 out there at one point for something. So the
Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang, okay. It's on Netflix, so go there. Ichi the Killer, if you care to do that. 2001 from director. Nice knowing you have a nice life, Takashi Miike. Let's get into our top three. Our top three comic book heroes. No, wait a second. Wait.
Non-traditional heroes.
Right.
Could be in a comic book, though.
Sure.
Could do that. And let's do that now. Max, what do you think? Number three.
Oh, you're going straight to me?
Well, you want me to go somewhere else?
Yeah, go to Adam.
You probably want me to say go to hell. That's what you probably want me to say. I'll go to hell for this. Adam, number three, what do you got?
I'm going to go Viggo Mortensen from History of Violence.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Non-traditional.
Okay.
I guess he was a hero.
It was a comic book. I'm sticking with comic books.
Was it a comic
book? What, was that a comic book?
Mm-hmm. It was a manga.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. One's not a manga.
It's a graphic novel.
As I like to call them, comic books.
Right.
Nah, you can stick with the comic book thing. Nice.
Yeah.
Max Gumbo Johnson, you're not getting out of it, man. That's you next. Number two. Number three.
All right.
Comic book. I'm sorry.
Non-traditional heroes. Didn't have to be a comic book.
Non-traditional hero. What you got?
I'm going number three, Darkman.
Ooh. All right.
Because he was awesome. And he was sort of the bad guy.
Are you confusing that with Darkwing Duck?
No.
You guys just said two of mine.
Oh, man.
In the same thing?
Yeah. Those both, forget it.
My bad. So anyway, I'm sticking with Darkman number three.
Nice. What you got, Hoodie?
I'm going to go with the spleen.
It's good.
Spleen from Mystery Men?
From Mystery Men.
Yeah.
The guy that fatted all the time.
Yeah. Good point, his fats.
My kind of hero. Hearts of Savage. My kind of hero.
Comic book, non-traditional hero, movie, Howard the Duck.
Darn it.
I think we all had that and all thought that was going to be the winner.
Right. Yeah.
I did not have that.
Oh, okay. Wow. Most of us.
Howard the Duck. I've yet to see that thing all the way through.
It's terrible.
It is terrible.
It's considered one of the worst.
Leah Thompson tries to rape a duck. Literally.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
She went to there.
Yeah. She tried
did
to seduce
him. Did you ever get your
him.
Copy of Play Duck, by the way?
No.
Play Duck.
Oh. Anyway.
My number three, why not go with Marv from Sin City?
Why not?
Why not?
Because he's bad to the bone. I like Marv. It's coming out with a sequel, too.
Yeah, it comes out later this year.
A Dame to Kill For.
We should bring that back.
I'm bringing it back, Dame. I actually used tomfoolery earlier. What is it, 1920? Yeah, see, tomfoolery, yeah.
Only a whippersnapper like you would use a word like that.
And how? I'm going to go over to Adam. Wait, are we up to you yet?
Yeah, number two.
Number two, what you got?
Y'all, probably none of y'all have seen this. El Super Bisto from the haunted world of El Super Bisto.
No.
Rob Zombie thing.
Oh, is it good?
It's good.
Yeah, it's
I wouldn't
fine.
Call him a superhero.
He's kind of a superhero.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's like a luchador.
Okay. Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's a luchador.
What he is. What's a luchador?
A Mexican masked wrestler.
Is that like Susan Lucci?
It's not for the children. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Not for the kiddos.
Not for the children. Okay. Max Gumbo Johnson, number two. What you got?
I'm going to have to go with Big Daddy from Kick-Ass.
Big Daddy from Kick-Ass.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he was totally non-traditional.
Yeah, he
raised his daughter.
Very non-traditionally.
Non-traditionally.
Right.
I like it.
And he talked like Adam West, which was great. And he was played by Nicolas Cage, which makes it 1,000 times better.
I need to revisit that. I kind of like that film a little bit. They came out with a sequel. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
it wasn't as good.
Wasn't as good? Okay.
Jim Carrey was the best part of that movie, and he should have been in the whole movie. He wasn't.
I hadn't seen that. I might get around to that one day. Hoodie, the greatest...
Darkwing Duck.
I'm sorry.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
You spit it out.
That's
right there.
That's not a movie. It has to
best
be a
best response
Come
ever.
On.
I'm sure it's a movie somewhere.
It's probably it's probably a straight to video movie. Come
I'm sure
on.
It's a movie somewhere, even a TV movie.
Yeah.
If it's a long episode, we'll call it a movie.
I'm going to go with it. Darkwing Duck. Come on. This is our riffer episode.
Well,
everything
up,
goes
then.
In this episode.
You got a minute? Look it up.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Get to looking.
Continue.
Get to looking, producer. Get to producing, producer. Hard Sub Savage, what's your number two based on the film we talked about, Ichi the Killer?
Well, not based on that, but...
I'm sorry, inspired by the film we talked about.
I'll stick with comic books. Movie, The Hulk.
Yeah, sure.
That was on my list.
He is a non-traditional...
The Ang Lee version.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is really...
Awful.
Different.
Did you like the one that came after with Ed Norton?
Yeah.
I liked that one.
That was
I liked
great.
It a lot. I actually watched that again a couple months ago. It's grown on me a little
Which
bit.
Which one?
The one with Eric Bana?
The one with Eric Bana. Yeah. I mean, I like the Ed Norton one better.
Yeah.
But the Eric
the
Bana
CGI
one,
was better in the Ed Norton one.
The one, the first one, I liked it a lot better after I watched it again. I was like, this is much better than I remember it being.
Okay, yeah, I need to get around to see that again, too. It's been
Nick
a long
Nolte
time.
Kind of threw me in that, though.
How could they never
Nick
make
Nolte throws me in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot.
No,
he was
they'd have just shown a little Gary Busey in there; it'd have been perfect.
Why haven't those guys had a fight scene yet?
Right. I know, and Jake to just
to
throw
the
him
death.
In. What's that?
No movie for Darkwing Duck, by the way.
Then V for Vendetta.
Thank
you.
Okay, much better.
Jeez.
All right, so we're gonna go over to my number two. Is that where we're at?
Number two.
I'm gonna go with you know it, Unbreakable.
Oh, Mr.
I'm gonna
Glass?
Go with what's his name? Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Oh. Mr. Not Glass?
No, he wasn't. He was the bad guy. This guy was a security guard.
I said Mr. Not Glass.
Yeah. What was his name? It was Unbreakable.
Mr. Security
Mr.
Guard.
Mr. Glass is the bad guy, so Mr. Not Glass is obviously the good guy.
Sometimes
Plexiglass.
The
Glass.
Sometimes the conversation of M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
And it's always, what's his best film? I'm always going to say Unbreakable. I did like that film. Mm. He wanted to make a sequel really, really bad. No one will give him the money to do it, from what I understand. No one will like green light the project.
If he went to a studio right now and said, "Hey, give me $20 million to make an Unbreakable sequel," they'd be like, "Here you go, do it." I'm dying to see.
He could probably kickstart that
after Lady in the Water. I don't know after Lady in the Water. I don't know how he could.
I like Lady in the Water.
He did After Earth.
The Water's great.
He did After Earth and Avatar: The Last Airbender. After
that was
Lady in the Water.
I heard that was terrible.
Which one?
Anywho,
the last air biscuit.
No. The last air biscuit.
Sorry.
Float your air biscuit there, producer. What's your number? Which number ones?
This one's really
number
hard.
One. Or what number one, right?
Yeah.
Go.
I got three really good ones, but I'm going to have to go with The Crow.
Okay.
James O'Barr.
It's a good one.
It's fantastic.
Was this a comic book in like the 1970s, early 70s? Is that when it came out, The Crow?
It was in what, 80s, I think?
No,
it was in the 80s. Yeah. No, it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was late 80s. When the comic book was written was in the 80s, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was like a little bit before that.
Yeah, the movie came out, what, 92, 93, somewhere in there?
Maybe 90. It's so dated.
Looks like it came out in 82.
Yeah.
Max, what's your number one?
I don't know. I got two I want to pick from.
You guys keep making me scratch them off my list.
Well, you already picked my number one, but I'm not changing it. It's Bruce Willis from Unbreakable.
Has to be.
Oh, okay. Sure, okay. I'll go with it.
What's your number one, Woody?
I had Darkman, but yeah, I'll go with Bruce Willis.
Okay. I made you change?
Yeah, why?
You know why? Because you have a non-conventional superhero and a comic book right there.
There's so many. The Crow is definitely the best one. Kudos to Adam for that one. Absolutely. No. Absolutely is. That character is just awesome.
Hard Sub Savage. Reveal.
You got one. I got four.
Blade Runner.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Was that originally a comic book?
It was. Mm-hmm.
It would have to be.
Very pricey comic books now.
I have
the best six movies, by the way.
They're coming out with another one. Aren't they making Ninja Turtles right now?
And just for the record, Donatello was my favorite.
Whatever.
Raphael's everybody's favorite.
I like the rat.
Donatello was my favorite. I'm going with you, buddy.
Our inner nerd is poking its head out.
Yeah, I've seen one of those movies. I'm not going to see the new one.
Listen, you know, I think I have the best number one. I don't even know if it's accurate, if it was a comic book, but I think it was. I'm going to assume it was. And I'm going to assume he's the best hero ever in a comic book, and that is Deathstalker.
No, not a comic book.
Damn.
We never said it had to be a comic book. Never.
No, we never did, but I was trying to stick with that thing. There's extra points for it being a comic book. Come on. I know Deathstalker was a comic book. I know it was. Had to be. That's
called,
my number one.
It's called Conan.
Yeah, it's called Conan. Yeah,
actually, it was called Kazar, I think.
Kazar?
Yeah. No
yeah,
joke.
Kazar. Yeah.
Well, he was a blonde guy in a loincloth that had a big sword. That's Kazar. That,
for sure. Oh,
thank you.
I do remember that.
Is that called Deadly Prey, the comic book?
No, it's called DC's version of
later,
Conan.
Later, they changed him into jean shorts, oiled him up a little bit.
David Pryor.
Any honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions. Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
Johnny Depp from Hell.
All right.
Akira.
Okay.
If you've never seen that one. And also James McAvoy from Wanted.
Yeah.
His character from there. And Vampire Nicely Hunter done. D for me.
Yeah, Wanted. That's
and
a good
what?
One. Yeah.
Vampire Hunter D from there.
You know, I put this out on Twitter as we always do. Had a few things come back. Drew Koenig at Movie Buff Haven says Blade.
Hmm. Blade, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can pick that up if he puts it down. Patrick Guder. Guder? Patrick Guder at Goods 10. Says, and I love this answer. I wanted to save it for him because he put it out there. I wanted to give him the credit. American Splendor. Harvey Pekar.
He's my hero.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen American Splendor?
Nope.
You must be a nerd. You're such a nerd, Toby.
Never seen it.
At Rosander. He likes to play along. That's for sure, man. The Thing.
The
what?
Thing?
What's that mean?
I don't know.
No, The Thing.
Oh, wait, The Thing. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's like The Hulk.
The Thing.
Okay. Are you talking about Swamp Thing, Man Thing?
The Thing. The
John Fantastic Carpenter's Ford. The Thing?
Oh, both of those Fantastic are good answers. Four.
Well, we know what this
we
thing
have no
was.
Idea.
This thing was our E.T. the Killer episode, along with our top three non-traditional superheroes.
Jack Burton. Superhero, it'd have to be The Thing.
I don't think it was like the movie The Thing, the head with the
That's
feet
where
going
Adam
out of
went.
It. Yeah, of course he did.
That's right? Awesome, though.
Yeah.
That is a good film.
So, this was it. E.T. the Killer 2001, directed by Takashi Miike.
We'll just call him 5'4".
Yeah. 5 foot four.
Nope, just 5'4".
A 5 foot four superhero of Japanese cinema.
Still not getting it. Just 5'4".
5'4". Superhero of Japanese cinema. I like that. Go ahead, reveal. Next week's selection. Matthew St. Hoodie, what's it going to be?
For something completely different, me and you and everyone we know. Miranda July movie.
Heard a lot about this film. Anybody seen it?
Never I have not seen it. I've heard about
Never
it.
Never seen it.
You're welcome.
I have no idea what it is.
All I know is the basic premise, and I've had several people say, hey, you should watch this.
I like going into them blind.
All right.
I mean, Itchy was kind of an exception. But,
I went out of that blind.
Yeah. Now,
I wish now,
the review portion of the show is over.
All right. Sorry. All right, guys. There you go. That's, once again, Itchy the Killer 2001. Next week, we're going to do me.
And you.
And everyone we know.
That's the one.
Well, so we'll definitely cue that up next week. And thanks once again for tuning in. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on the film we just discussed, I dare you. I'm sure there could be a few people out there with certain opinions.
Sure.
We gave you a wide path to go down. Please go to theqfilmcast.net. You go there. Listener feedback. Any show that we've reviewed, this one, if you want. Hang out. Tell us what we thought. Yeah. So we'll see you next week. That's me, you, and everyone we know. And to you and everyone you know, thanks for... Tune into the queue. We'll see you next week.